We'll take our text tonight from 1 Samuel chapter 8, just verse 4 and 5. That's 1 Samuel chapter 8. We'll start with verse 4. And then all the elders of Israel gather themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king who judge us like all the nations. When I read that verse, I always smile because when I was younger, in my 20s, I look at people in the church when I was in Tacoma in the 40s and have kids. I say, wow, these people are old. How do they keep going? Now that I'm way past that age, I said, well, you know, that was rude to think that way. Now I can still play pickleball at my age and still move a little bit. Thank the Lord for that. You know, I'm sure all of you have that experience. And you look at people a little bit older than me and say, wow, how are they able to still work in the church and serve the Lord? Praise God that, you know, they have the strength. And yeah, I pray that someday that when I get to that age, I'm still well active and, and praising God and sharing the gospel. But, in this account here, you know, I wonder, sometime when they said that to Samuel, he might have been offended a little bit, but, you know, it is what it is. People were just not, looking to God anymore. So just the background here, since when the children of Israel was, God led them out of Egypt from their, you know, bondage there, God used great men, leader, to lead them out as his voice, as his hand and his foot to lead the children of Israel. You know, from Moses, after Moses, Joshua, and then after Joshua, we went into the eras of the judges. And here we are, Samuel, which is the last of the judge because of this account here when the people decided that, you know, they don't want somebody to talk, God to talk through to give them guidance and direction anymore. And of course, after this account, you know, Samuel became, you know, a prophet also. So he was a judge and a prophet at the same time. Now, of course, most of you know and understand that Samuel was raised in the temple, or like most of us, he was raised in the church since he was weaned by his mom. And, of course, you can read about that story, too, in the beginning, before that, a few chapters before that. And we don't know how old it is when he was weaned. A lot of scholars say it's between 3 and 9 years old. So that's when his mom brought him to live with Eli at the temple there, and he lived with Eli and study God, you know, God's way and God's word, and learn to become, you know, a judge also and a priest. So now here, when Samuel is old enough and he has some sons, and he appointed his sons to be judges, and of course, his sons followed the ways of Eli's son. They were corrupt and didn't do what they were supposed to do. They were perverted. So the people got disappointed, said, you know, this is not working out. We need something else. So instead of going to God like they always do, they said, you know, make us a king, find us a king so we can be like other nation. I mean, where did they get this ideas from that we want a king? How did they know? I mean, it was never taught to them, or, you know, God never said, you know, anything about king. But what did they do? Just like any of us, when we being misled, it's when we look around us or look to the side, look to the left, to the right. And that's what they did. They looked to the people that live around them, other nation, and said, oh, we want to be like them. It says, you know, in verse 5, it says, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Again, they shouldn't be looking to their side, to the left, right, or back and front or all around him to seek guidance and direction. You know, has anything like that ever happened to any of us or any of you when we look, you know, for certain guidance, direction, or advice instead of looking to God or your pastor or somebody, a spiritual leader or a mentor? We look for other sources that is not very conducive to what our faith is. I remember, a long, long time ago, out of college, I never needed a phone. Back then, they have a cell phone, the flip phone thing. I mean, it took many years when it first came out until, for work, my boss said, well, I need to have a phone so we can get contact with you. I said, why? I have a pager. If you need me, page that, I'll go call you. But it took 2-3 years before somebody convinced me to get that. And I finally got that, and then, now can't live without it, right? Just like most of us. So, and that's the issue. When we look around us, sometimes it could lead us into the wrong direction. And it goes the same for anything in our lives right now. How about our jobs? I mean, you apply for a job, you got a great job, you love your job, but then you talk to your friend or talk to somebody else or an acquaintance, realize they have, this job might look, so much more appealing, such a better position or better title or maybe better pay or better benefit. But you were happy at that job a moment ago, or when you had it, you were content with it. But when you start looking again to your left, to your right, you become discontent. And it goes for anything in our life, like our clothes, the shoe we wear, the car we drive, the house we live in, or the neighborhood we live in. We were there. God put us there for a reason, for a purpose. But then when we start looking, somewhere else, we become discontent about it. And that's what happened here to the children of Israelite. I used to have a quote in one of those frame picture thing in my garage. I don't know what happened to it. Christy probably threw it away. I love the quote. It says, most of our unhappiness comes from looking to see what other people has. And think about it. It does. Even if if you don't know God, or if you have God in your life, we were happy at a moment until we see what another person has. We always think that the grass is greener on the other side. And then when you get to the other side, you realize, wow, it's so much greener on that side. And just like the parable about the laborer in Matthew chapter 20. I'll just read just verse 10 and 12 there. Matthew 20. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmur against the good man of the house, saying, the last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. So again, in this parable, all these people, some of the people agreed to work in the beginning of the day for a penny. Some came in the morning, start the first day, the first of the day. Some came later in the morning. Some came in the afternoon, and some came later afternoon, and some came like an hour before. So everybody was agreed to work for what their wages was. But when it comes to pay time, the guy that started the first of the day was complaining about the guy that came at the last of the day about his wages. Again, what was the issue? He was happy, content, what he agreed upon. But then when he looked at somebody else, what the other person had, it became a problem. And, again, in every stage of life, God calls us to be where we are at. God is not calling us to look what another person has or what other person doesn't have. We should only look to Him for what we have. And if we're not content or satisfied, we should pray and ask God, where do you need me to be, Lord, so I can give you praise, so I can glorify you and advance your kingdom. You know, and so let's back to Samuel. So when they said this to Samuel, Samuel was kind of, he was upset a little bit. I mean, if it was some of us, if somebody come and tell you, say, hey, you're kind of too old to play in the orchestra. Ooh, I bet, oh, they're gone. I bet some, oh man, Brother Dave would hear about it all week, all day, and we would probably have a revival service going on just to resolve that. But anyway, so he was upset. So what did the first thing he do? He didn't go to anywhere or anybody or seek advice, but he went to God. He went and seek the Lord for advice and say, Lord, what should I do about it? And of course, God said, you know, they didn't reject you because of who you are or because you're old. They reject you because of me. Well, basically God said, they reject me. They reject who I am. They don't want me to reign over their life anymore. Basically, they want to do their own things. They want to do their own ways, and they want to serve other gods. And they want to serve themselves. That's when it comes down to it. And a lot of time too, when we go through a certain situation, seek God first. Because when you seek other sources, resources, that's when we start to step away from what God called us to be. So God told Samuel, hearken unto their voice, but protest solemnly and show them how a king shall rule over them. So, you know, God said, yeah, listen to them. Do what they said, but at least let them know that you're against this, that the Lord is against this, and tell them that what the king's going to do to them. He said, the king will take your sons, make them your servants, do whatever he wants for them. The king will take your daughter, make him your servant, and do whatever at his bidding. And he will take a portion of everything that they will have. And there's nothing you can do about it. You will be a servant to that, you know, king who will rule over you. And that's just a paraphrase of it. So again, the king will do that. I mean, for me, I mean, I would love, you know, as save now the opportunity to be to serve the Lord. I'd rather not have anything else in my life to be my king, you know, that I would serve, you know. So when it comes down to it, you know, tonight, what is a king? Of course, we know a simple definition of a king. A king is a man who's inherent or born into royalty, and they rule over a certain group of people, a certain country. But, you know, figuratively speaking, a king, you know, is somebody hold a prominent position or someone or something that have chief authority over you and your life. So tonight, I would like to ask, what is the chief authority or what rule over your life? What dictates what you do? What decide where you go or how you talk or how you live? What have authority most in your life right now? You know, maybe many people can say, well, I'm not serving any man or any king, but what about figuratively or metaphorically? How about your job, your career? Does that dictate how you live your life, how you talk to people, how you spend time with your family, how you, if you attend church or not church, is your career, your job, your number one priority? Does that take precedent over everything else in your life? Does that job or career tell you when to sleep, where to go, when to go to church, or when to spend time with your family? Does that consume most of your time? If it does, that is the that career, that job has the most authority in your life. You know, what about education? Is education the most important thing in your life right now? Does it tell you, again, dictate you how to live your life, how to speak? If it does, then it is your king. It does rule over your life. How about family too? It could happen. If your family have control or dictate what you do, what you can't do, where you can go, where you can't go, if you can go to church or can't go to church, then they are ruling over your life right now. But if Jesus Christ dictate how you live, how you pray, how you talk to others, then he is the king of your life. I mean, just think about it. When I was reading this and studying this, you know, when Samuel tell the people, children of Israel, you know, that the king will take your children, take your daughter and do whatever. You know, if Jesus Christ is the king of my life, I would love gladly for him to take my children, my daughter, my son, my daughter, to be his servant, to do whatever his bidding is. And I pray for everyone here or anybody listening in, that if you say serve Jesus Christ, you know, wouldn't you want him to take your children, your son, your daughter, to do his bidding for him? I mean, that benefit you, their soul, right? And it benefit them and their soul also. So tonight, who is the chief authority in your life? Who is the king of your life? Who hold the prominent position in your life at this moment? Is it something else out there? Or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Only you know that. Only you can search your heart to tell you that. Again, it only take a little bit of just looking one direction or the other direction at a time. When you start to head toward the wrong direction. So be careful. If Jesus Christ is the king of your life, you know, you study his word. You come in fellowship. You attend. You pray for one another. You pray with each other. You know, imagine if he is the king of the world, he is the king of this universe. He is the king of everything that existed back then in the beginning of time. He is the king that exists now, and he's the king that existed in the future. Why can't he be the king of your life? What is stopping you from subjecting yourself to asking him to be the king of your life, the king of your world? Nothing. So tonight, that's a question that only you can answer. Why is Jesus Christ not the king of your life and the king of everything in your life yet? So, I invite you to come and pray, and the song of invitation is 599.